This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan and we are 50 today. 50 episodes. Holy moly. Can you believe it? Yes, amazing. We've got to the big 5-0. I'm feeling so old right now and mature. Wow. For those of you who have come on this journey and stayed on this journey, thank you for listening. And thanks for liking and sharing the pod. All the emotions. Oh my God. 5-0. 5-0. And do you know what? It's as if the streamers and the movie studios knew it was our 50th episode today, because they've only gone and released an absolute rake of new shows and movies for you to get distracted by. Like a legion of stuff. A plethora of madness. So, shall we begin? And by the way, if there's any hammering noises or crazy sounds going on in the background, the neighbours both sides have decided to bait the shit out of their walls and dig up their floors. And do you know what? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Adds atmosphere, I think. Does it? I don't know. Anyway, let's go.
So, do you have a lab partner yet?
Is there a Jim Wang here?
Wang.
This is Wayne Chung.
Wei Chen.
He's a new student and he's Chinese, like you. He's going to tag along to all of your classes.
I found seats for us. Come on.
Except in math. He's way ahead of you in math.
I just want to be a regular guy who does regular stuff.
You made a new friend.
Just thought this year was going to be different.
Reuniting the stars of Everything Everywhere All at Once, including recent Oscar winners Michelle Yeoh and Kei Hui Kwan, plus Oscar nominee Stephanie Hsu, and based on Jean Lun Yang's graphic novel, the mind-bending, genre-mashing action comedy American-born Chinese is now on Disney+. It centres around teenager Jin Wang. Already struggling to balance his school and home life, things get even more out of control for Jin when he befriends a new Taiwanese student and finds himself embroiled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. Whoa! Directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, who did Shang-Chi, this series is simply box office. Just imagine Big Trouble in Little China trundling along, and then suddenly the 1970s TV show that people of a certain vintage might remember, Monkey. Monkey Magic, floating on those clouds, them were the days. And then, yes, a bit of Everything Everywhere All at Once, all set in a high school scenario. Absolutely love it. What's not to adore? I'm all in. It's going to be amazing. I've watched the first two and I'm absolutely in awe. I love it. I love it. Love it. Some great fights. Crouching Tiger. Throw in some Crouching Tiger. It's all there, folks. It's all there. That is American Born Chinese. All episodes now on Disney+.
What are you up to?
Oh, why is this my life?
So, lunch?
No.
Brunch?
No. I don't have time for this.
Can't be friends with a girl.
There's lots of famous men and women friends. Laura Dern and Sam Neill in Jurassic Park.
Your friendship with Will is not built for this phase of life.
Oh, geez.
This is how a woman experiences a midlife crisis.
You're like a couple of teenage girls. Your whole thing is so weird and destructive.
Can you believe she said we were destructive?
No, we're exactly the opposite.
We are constructive.
We're constructive.
In Platonic on Apple TV+, Bad Neighbours co-stars Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen reunite with the director of that film, Nick Stoller, for a 10-episode comedy series, which looks all the amazing. Byrne and Rogan play one-time childhood best friends who attempt to reconnect in adulthood after a falling out, only for their rekindled friendship to become increasingly all-consuming. This is proper dramedy done Apple TV style and is a hugely entertaining watch. What's not to love? Rogan, Byrne goofing off and embracing their semi-midlife crisis. Total quality stuff, as you would expect, as I said, from Apple TV. Always, always with the good shit. That is Platonic, now on Apple TV+. Just a quick and brief shout out for three recent cinema releases which are now free to stream. First up, we have The Whale on Prime Video. Oscar winner Brendan Fraser and his quite divisive movie, The Whale, is now out there. You can finally catch up on it and see whether it was worth all that fuss. Oh, it's not a fun watch, people. It's not a fun watch. Anyway, The Whale is now on Prime Video. One of the wildest and craziest horror movies of recent years, Malignant, is also finally landing on Prime Video. Like Ty West's X and Zach Cregger's Barbarian, James Wan's Malignant has to be seen to be believed. If you're a fan of horror slash action movies who likes to have your mind absolutely blown, then this is the one for you. Oh my god, be prepared for the absolute madness. That is Malignant, now on Prime Video. And finally, in the cinema release movie section, we have The Little Scene Confess Fletch on Paramount Plus, starring Jon Hamm in this kind of sequel to those 80s Chevy Chase movies, Fletch and Fletch Lives. This is a quirky and funny murder mystery story with Jon hamming it up to perfection. A quite enjoyable romp. That's Confess Fletch, now on Paramount Plus.
Lou, can I talk to you for a minute? We're going to lose an operative. Codename's Panda.
I'm retired.
You zip in, extract Panda, grab the WMD, zip on out.
Holy shit.
My daughter's in the CIA.
What the f*** in Language? This place?
Dollar in the swear jar.
I know where the WMD's toward, so follow me or get out of my way.
She clearly has daddy issues.
Netflix and Arnold Schwarzenegger team up for the new series FUBAR. The actor's first TV series is an action spy comedy that finds him playing a CIA agent on the verge of retirement who is called upon for the usual one last job. Only to discover that his daughter, played by Monica Barbaro, has also been working as a CIA operative for years without either one realizing the other's involvement with the agency. Oh, Lord, what can go wrong? What madcap mayhem can occur? Well, this could go in any direction. Personally, I'm feeling a slight Last Action Hero danger, danger vibe coming off it. Because when Arnie does comedy and he misses, oh, stink-a-rama. But, folks, it's Arnie and it's action. So, of course, we're going to bail in and have a little nose. All 8 episodes are up streaming straight away. That is FUBAR, now on Netflix. And yes, despite the fact I regularly F-bomb the place, you can go Google FUBAR yourself and figure out what it stands for.
When someone sees a mermaid, it's magical, it's mythical, it's made up. Or maybe it isn't.
This is a $500 million industry. There are pageants, there are conventions, there are competitions, there are auditions, there are shows.
Wait, that's a job?
This is not a dream, people. This is not a dream. Mere People on Netflix is a documentary series which looks at the whimsical world of professional mermaiding, where people's passion for swimming in fins has exploded into a $500 million industry. What? Obviously unleashed to coincide with the cinema release of The Little Mermaid, this one will actually surprise you with how touching and fascinating it is. I mean, have a look. It's mad, but it's sad. But in a good way. I don't mean sad as... Anyway, have a look. It's very intriguing. That's all I'm saying. That is Mer People, now on Netflix. One for the smallies this week, we have Chip and Dale Park Life Season 2 on Disney Plus. This sees the return of those mischievous chipmunks, but be warned, grown-ups, this is not a follow-up to the thoroughly enjoyable kind of adult nostalgia movie that was released earlier in the year, and more back to the classic animation style for the little ones. So yes, Chip and Dale Park Life Season 2 is now on Disney Plus. Heading into the non-English section, and some really good stuff, but two standout candidates this week. Holy crap. The Griffin on Prime Video has been dubbed the biggest German fantasy since The Neverending Story. That alone had me intrigued. It's adapted from Wolfgang Holbein's smash hit fantasy novel and follows three outsiders, Mark, Mimo and Becky, who come into contact with a fantastic world called the Black Tower. There, the Griffin of the title, a world-devouring monster, has been mercilessly plundering and subjugating all living creatures for centuries. And the three friends, of all people, seemed destined to end this reign of terror. This six-episode series took almost 5 years to make, and, well, I'm not going to lie, as someone who's obsessed with Michael Ende's never-ending storybook, before the movie, people, there was a book. Before the song, there was a book. And what a book it was. I absolutely will be bailing into this one. If big epic fantasies with classic mythological creatures and teens in danger are your jam, then yes, The Griffin on Prime Video is a must. Another humdinger out there this week coming from Italy is The Gymnasts on Paramount Plus, which sees an elite team of female gymnasts locked in intense competition whilst holed up in an Italian Alps mountain resort, but then find themselves embroiled in a grisly murder mystery investigation as one of them, as you guessed it, is knocked off. Based on Ilaria Bernardini's novel Corpo Libero, this pretty hyped show has all the drama, paranoia, competitive showdowns you'd expect, and has been getting really, really strong reviews. That's The Gymnasts, now on Paramount Plus. From Poland, we have the action thriller Mother's Day on Netflix. When the son she's never known gets kidnapped, former special agent Nina dusts off her deadly skills to bring him home, no matter who gets in her way. Yes, ultra-violence and angry mothers are all on show in this feature film called Mother's Day from Poland, which is now on Netflix. In Blood and Gold on Netflix, at the bitter end of World War II, a German deserter and a young woman are drawn into a bloody battle with a group of Nazis hunting for hidden gold. Sure, they're always looking for gold, that lot. We might have a better Nazi movie for you coming up later, but we won't talk about that yet. Until then, you've got Blood and Gold on Netflix. And finally, in the non-English section, we have Tin and Tina on Netflix. If creepy Spanish horrors are your mood this weekend, then Tin and Tina is definitely for you. After a traumatic miscarriage, a young couple adopts two peculiar twins from a convent whose obsession with religion soon begins to disturb the family. Oh, creepy children, ahoy. You have been warned. You know those Spanish, they're a bit mad when it comes to horror movies. That's Tin and Tina, now on Netflix.
I don't even know where we left off.
You were still in a relationship.
I was?
Yep.
Damn. Things change really quickly.
You okay?
No.
Aww.
Not okay.
It's having such a hard day today.
I'm really good at being calm when there's turbulence, but this has been a whirlwind of a year.
The Cameras and the Kardashians returned for a third season on Disney Plus, as Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall and Kylie invite viewers back into their lives as they navigate motherhood, co-parenting and building their own empires. Yes, you can imagine the shit's going to kick off in this season, because there's a lot going on. I'll be honest, I have no idea who most of these people are, maybe one or two of them, and I don't care. But a lot of people do care, and a lot of people have been waiting. And judging by the amount of posters floating around Smithfield advertising it, a lot of people are in the zone. So, more fool me. Anyway, that is The Kardashians Season 3 on Disney Plus.
You're the last person to see her.
The change is coming to us all.
Little girl never came home, and Adrian Beaufort knows what happened to her.
He
me down when I saw him.
You were right there.
You must be cleared of all your sins. Are you ready for your clearing?
The Clearing on Disney Plus is a psychological thriller from Australia based on J.P. Pomare's novel. When a young girl is kidnapped, it triggers a woman's trauma from her own childhood when she was a member of a female-led cult, the Kindred. Inspired by real-life Australian cults, The Family, and its founder Anne Hamilton Byrne, Teresa Palmer, Miranda Otto, and Guy Pearce star in this intense 8-episode stress ball of a show. Looks like an absolute cracker, but yes, a bit of a stress ball. That's The Clearing, now on Disney+.
We have an Olympic-class marksman running wild. Every shot found its mark.
305 went to the end.
No casings, no brass, not a single fingerprint.
Start recording. Every face on video. Get him on your phone.
He didn't come here to die, and he does not want to be found. We're going to disappoint him.
These people, they're just born playing evil.
Evil is cutting off a bird's wing just to see what happens. This guy is swatting mosquitoes.
Why'd you say that thing about mosquitoes?
I don't think he's looking for destruction. I think he's looking for relief.
To Catch a Killer on Now TV and Sky Cinema stars Shailene Woodley and Ben Mendelsohn in a crime thriller where Woodley plays Elnor Falco, a young and promising Baltimore PD police officer whose tortured mind becomes an invaluable tool when the FBI's chief investigator recruits her to help find a brutal serial killer. Listen, you know the gig. If you like serial killers, and you like those ones where they get into their minds and try to figure out what they're thinking, yes, this one is absolutely worth a distracted watch. What's not to love? Feck it, just bail in. No one's looking. Just have a little peep. It'll be nonsense, but it'll be enjoyable nonsense, I'm pretty sure. That is To Catch a Killer on Now TV and Sky Cinema.
What's it like? Always knowing the truth.
There's nothing mystical about it. I could just tell.
And anyone is lying.
Yeah. I know what you did, you psycho.
You're gonna find Charlie Kerr, and you're gonna bring her to me.
You live on the road, right?
What's it like? Leave everything behind. Start fresh.
I got wolves on my fender. Oh, I gotta keep moving. Holy, holy. It wasn't an accident. I think there's been a murder.
Rian Johnson's new detective show, Poker Face, finally lands here on Sky Max and Now TV. Created, written, directed, and executive produced by Johnson. Yes, he of the Knives Out movies and a certain Star Wars that some people don't like and I kind of like. The show is a 10-episode Mystery of the Week series following Natasha Lyonne as Charlie Kale, who herself has an extraordinary ability to determine when someone is lying. Each week features a guest star, including people like Adrian Brody, Nick Nolte, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Chloe Savini, and many, many, many more. Kind of think old school 80s crime series, kind of a bit of Columbo going on, a bit of Murder, She Wrote, but with the brilliant and always funny Natasha Lyonne perking it up and Johnson's witty direction and writing giving it some extra spice. Definitely one worth having a nose on. Arriving finally with all the buzz and the hype, that is Poker Face, now on Sky Max and Now TV.
The White House.
Howard Hunt.
Howard, the president asked for a real son of a bitch to handle this Pentagon leak.
What do you need?
I want you to meet Gordon Liddy.
Toughest guy I know. He'll hold his hand in the flame of a candle.
I do not bend, and I do not break.
What's the trick?
There isn't one. Gets third-degree burns every time.
Please stop.
You now work for the committee to re-elect the president. Your new mission is to make sure he wins this election.
We'll intercept confidential information of the radical left.
What's the plan?
We're going to hit the DNC
at the Watergate.
Howard, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
And finally this week on streaming, we have White House Plumbers, which drops on Monday on Now TV. This one sees Woody Harrelson and Justin Theroux as Watergate masterminds E. Howard Hunt, G. Gordon Liddy. Although, yes, masterminds as this show will prove, is a questionable description. This five-part miniseries lifts the lid on how Hunt and Liddy, committed by President Nixon to the task of plugging governmental press leaks by any means necessary, ended up accidentally catalysing the downfall of the very presidency they were sworn to protect. Absolute carnage, total madness. These bunch of numpties, played hilariously by Harrelson and Theroux, just keep digging those holes that they will never be able to get out of. I absolutely adored it. It also makes a brilliant companion piece to the Julia Roberts and Sean Penn series Gaslit, which dropped on Lionsgate Plus earlier in the year. Both come highly recommended. But this one, 5 episodes of total lunacy. You won't believe what you're seeing. A fantastic cast across the board. So that is The White House Plumbers on Now TV from Monday. And there you go. I wasn't lying. I mean, holy crap. That is some lineup. Dear God, we'll never leave the house, but we will, because not only, as I said, is streaming insane this week, cinemas are going to be chocka.
You can't live in that world unless you become a human yourself.
Is that even possible?
It's what I live for.
Something about you seems different. I can't quite figure it out.
She got legs, you idiot.
I don't know where, I don't know how, but I know something's starting right now.
Watch and you'll see, someday I'll be part of. Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. People, people, people. Mer people, mer people, mer people even. The live-action version of The Little Mermaid has finally landed on our shores, and it kind of feels like it's kicking off the summer movie season proper. So, before we discuss it, I have a few things I would like to say. My backstory to how I approached this movie. Firstly, The Little Mermaid is my Disney animated movie. Ariel is my princess. She's the greatest princess ever. I was obsessed as a teenager with this movie. And Sebastian, always an absolute legend. Oh my God. And as for the songs, I knew them too well. Some would say college was a struggle. Secondly, I am not a fan of live action remakes. People who know me know this. I do not. Well, I'm going to say, they're not pointless because I know what they are. They're cash grabs, whatever you want to call them. They're fine. Some are decent. Most are muck. And ultimately pointless. Again, except for all the money that Disney make from them. Which this movie definitely will do. So, how was The Little Mermaid live action version? Well, firstly, it's about 50 minutes longer than the cartoon, which is definitely a problem. But it is definitely one of the better remakes out there. It's got new songs added by Lin-Manuel, which are fine. And in parts, it actually veers in some interesting new directions. While feeling familiar, it's kind of a bit Little Mermaid meets Pirates of the Caribbean's going on. Prince Eric, absolute drip, get off the stage. While Melissa McCarthy hams it up, pantomime villain style as Ursula. Ursula, who again is definitely one of the best Disney villains. And McCarthy, yeah, she's not bad. Definitely not as bad as I feared, but she's no original Ursula. Ultimately, this movie belongs to Ariel herself. Halle Bailey is absolutely sensational and saves the movie completely from being a bit ho-hum. Her singing is amazing. She's a very feisty, fun Ariel, and that's all the kids really need to know. With regards to her fishy friends, Flounder is definitely sketchy and very creepy. In no way is he the cute, annoying character that he was in the original. Scuttle is just annoying, but then again, was in the original too. And I quite liked Sebastian in this, quite a bit. Sebastian wasn't too bad. So, overall, while this one is definitely not for me, it's bound to be a hit with the kids and for Disney, if, and I repeat, if they can sit through 2 hours and 15 minutes of an expanded rehash. As for rewatchability, I'm fairly certain parents are going to more likely drag the kids home and show them the original, because it'd be rude not to. And hey, they can even terrify them with one of the best songs That is sadly not featured in this remake. Les poissons, les poissons, how I love les poissons. Ah well, can't win them all. Probably too terrifying, in fairness. That is The Little Mermaid, now in cinemas.
He was a Finnish commander. He lost his home and his family in the war. He became a one-man death squad. He's one mean motherfucker that you do not want to mess with.
Fire!
You'll see what happens when you take everything from him.
You really believe that he's immortal?
No, he just refuses to die.
Directed by Jalmari Helander, who gave us the epic Christmas horror movie Rare Exports, Sisu is set during the last days of World War II. A solitary prospector crosses paths with Nazis on a scorched earth retreat in northern Finland. When the soldiers decide to steal his gold, they quickly discover they just tangled with no ordinary miner. Ah, yes, Nazis getting their comeuppance is a very popular genre, with classics like The Great Escape, Inglourious Basterds, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Escape to Victory, all giving you a warm glow inside. Well, Sisu definitely comes down on the side of Inglourious Basterds meets John Wick, as this one-man killing machine wreaks havoc on all who cross his path. It's also got a bit of Clint Eastwood Man with No Name Western vibe going on, and yes, even the part Irish famine revenge flick like Black 47. The sweeping landscapes and visuals are as important to this movie as the Nazis getting the living shit beat out of them. Oh, how we laughed. It's a romp. It's a joy. It has the most minimal dialogue. And yes, it's 91 minutes long. Oh, beautiful violent madness. Sisu is now in cinemas.
So we're all on the same boat. We don't know what's going on.
The company siphoned off all our assets, including the .ie, over to the UK.
The methodology of this was that you weren't even going to get redundancy.
We can't let this happen. There's no way we can let this happen.
Do we have to stand up for ourselves?
We were only asking for what we were entitled to.
The only thing we could do was stop the stock leaving.
There was pickets stationed then at every door, all 11 stores around the country.
I genuinely don't believe when we started out that I thought I'd be sitting there for 406 days. I'll be quite honest with you.
406 Days was the winner of the 2023 Dublin International Film Festival Audience Award and the Dublin Film Critics 2023 Award for Best Irish Documentary. It tells the story of the 1,000 Irish Debenhams workers who were made redundant through a generic email on the 9th of April 2020, after Debenhams UK Retail Limited closed all 11 Irish stores, including their flagship store on Henry Street. The workforce, 95% female, had been denied an earlier agreed redundancy package. They voted to go on official strike and blocked stock being removed from the 11 stores by the liquidator. The workers remained on picket lines throughout the COVID-19 pandemic for 406 days, making it the longest industrial dispute in Irish labour history. This is definitely one worth catching while it's out in cinemas. That's 406 days, which is out there now. I'm finishing off cinema this week with two, under the bracket of slightly ropey-dopey releases. Appearing like a thief in the night, Robert Rodriguez's Hypnotic lands in cinemas with Ben Affleck front and centre, and the nation collectively sighs and says, what now? What's happening? Determined to find his missing daughter, Detective Danny Rourke finds himself spiralling down a rabbit hole while investigating a series of reality-bending crimes. Aided by Diana Cruz, played by Alice Braga, a gifted psychic, Rourke simultaneously pursues and is pursued by a lethal spectre, the one man he believes holds the key to finding the girl. Yeah, looks like absolute nonsense. Even on streaming, this would probably be a sketchy one to watch. Kind of more of a, if you're stuck, watch it. But it's now in cinemas. So that is Hypnotic, which is now in cinemas. Also out this week is About My Father. Encouraged by his fiancée, a man and his father spend the weekend with her wealthy and exceedingly eccentric family. The gathering soon develops into a culture clash, allowing father and son to discover the true meaning of family. Sebastian Maniscalco and Robert De Niro star as father and son. I'm not exactly rushing out to see this one either. And I feel like it's another I'll wait for streaming type movie. But that's about my father now in cinemas. And there you go. That is your cinema for the week. Lots to do, people. Lots to do. Right. I feel like we should have a look at three things that are happening in pop culture this week. Well, actually, it's not three things. It's one thing, and that is an update on the writer's strike. We are 24 days in so far. And how are we getting on over there? How is Hollywood coping? Oh boy. As I predicted before when we discussed this, both sides have dug their big heels in and the writers, studios and streamers don't seem to be budging one bit. But again, you ask, how's this going to affect me? I'm not, paving the streets of LA or New York. Well, as an update, here's a list of the shows that have now been pushed back, delayed or shut down due to strike or pickets outside their filming sets. You've got Stranger Things Season 5, gone. Hacks Season 3, shut down. Severance Season 2, out the door. The new Colin Farrell Penguin show. Old Man Season 2. The Last of Us Season 2, can't even do a casting call. And even the new Daredevil show had its set shut down last week. So, as you can see, while shows not yet written are being naturally delayed, shows that actually are written and filming are now being targeted by picket lines, and the talent from other guilds are not willing to cross these picket lines, obviously. Which, on May 17th, saw the Screen Actors Guild unanimously agree to ask its members to vote and order a strike. Oh, it's getting bleak, folks. It's getting bleak. With the director still in discussion with studios and nowhere near a deal, I feel a vote may be coming from them pretty soon, too. Again, as predicted, this is definitely going to drag on until the autumn, and we, as viewers, could be looking at a very barren late 2023 and early 2024 for big new releases both on streaming and in cinemas. So, buckle up! Start stockpiling those shows you always wanted to watch, because we may be looking at an autumn season filled with tumbleweed and very little shiny new content. On that cheery note, we are done. This bumper pod is now complete, and this half century of a babble, it went on for half a century, is ready to go out into the world. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. July 29th, 2022. What a day to be alive! Yes, the birth of the most low-key, suspicious podcast you'll ever hear in your life. Here back again, episode 1. Read all about it, Paper Girls and beyond. That poor show didn't even last as long as my podcast, because the feckers cancelled it. Disgraceful. But we will struggle on, yeah! We will struggle on, cause yes, yeah, whoop. Post, even in the post credits, the big 5-0 celebrations are still going. The rosé is flowing, and the bowls of Manhattan crisps are piled high. It's a beautiful thing, people. I genuinely didn't think I'd make it to the 50th episode. Not me personally, health wise, but actually, I thought. Whether it was through boredom with my own voice and I thought I can't do it, or due to a lack of content, how foolish that was, or simply me just getting distracted by life. You know, shiny things. I'm always looking for shiny things. But we're still here, shouting out into the void, hello, hello, and dropping into a few ears. And those ears, I just like to say, thank you, ears. Thanks for all the feedback and messages over the last year. It's nearly been a year. It's been fab to hear what people think. And yeah, I'm kind of, it's all good. And no, despite this kind of sounding like a yagoogly, I am not going away. I have some exciting things planned for the next 50 to a million shows. So for one final time, thank you for listening. Thank you for liking. Thank you for sharing and recommending this wee little podcast to your family and friends. And with that, let's head off in style. I bid you adieu.
Well, I guess I'm fucking 50. Some say I'm old as fuck. Still sipping Jim Beam whiskey, 'cause goddamn pandemics suck. I guess I'm fucking 50. No need to look it up. Well, I might be fucking 50, but I still don't give one fuck.